I do my show on the Heritage Radio Network because I think it's important to talk about the impact of technology on our lives.
I do my show to reach home cooks and help them do better.
Because I love getting together with people in the industry.
I like hosting my show because, to me, it's the stories about people and their relationship to food that help make the food more interesting and more delicious.
Our hosts do their shows as a labor of love, but we still need your financial support in order to keep the lights on and keep the tape rolling. Please become a member today at heritageradionetwork.org.
OpenTable is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network. For more information, visit their blog, Open for Business, at openforbusiness.opentable.com.
I'm Mike Colomeco from Food Talk. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Are you one of the 15 million people in 26 countries that downloaded the Pokemon Go app? If you are, and if you're not, tune in to this episode of Tech Bytes. Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners. It is Monday afternoon, July 18th, if you're listening in the future. July 18th is important. July 18th, 2016, I'm in the backyard of Roberta's Pizza, getting ready to do Tech Bytes, the weekly radio show where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today, that intersection is Pokemon Go and how restaurants are using Pokemon Go to lure in customers playing the game. And it's really quite a phenomenon. And if you follow the Roberta's Pizza Instagram feed, you will have seen that there's been some Pokemon Go action here. So I am very happy to say, for the first time ever on Tech Bytes, we have actual Roberta's peeps in the studio with us talking. We talk about the pizza and the restaurant all the time on this show. And this is already shaping up to be one of my best episodes ever. So sitting next to me, we have Anthony Falco, who is the pizza czar, Roberta's Pizza. And if you've been here and you've had the Millennium Falco pizza, that's what that's about.
Yeah, that's the pizza I was named after.
We're glad that you stepped onto the other side of the booth.
Yeah, it's nice. It's always cool to see you guys in here doing your thing. And, you know, now I'm here, I see people eating pizza. It's great.
Yeah, it's really fun. And what you can't see because you're listening and this is a podcast, we have a aquarium-like window that gives that is on one of the dining rooms at Roberta's, and there's a table for two pressed right up against the window. There's two gentlemen having some pizza right now, and it's always a really interesting view, and I'm dying to mic that table and have a show, you know, called, like, Table for Two.
Oh, we could do that, right.
Pizza for Two. Yeah. Does that? What's the table number for that slot? Does anybody
that's
know?
That's 43.
Table 43. Wouldn't that be a great show?
Yeah, that's...
Because you can see people, and you can see sometimes people are on dates. Sometimes dates are going well, sometimes less well. Sometimes it looks like business interviews. I'm not quite sure what these two dudes are doing.
They're just super high, and they needed to come get a pizza.
Yeah, and there's some daytime. Yeah, sometimes you get to see daytime drinking and all that. So table 44.
43.
Table 43. Maybe look forward
Area
to fall
57.
Lineup. Sitting next to Anthony is Chris Ancona, who is pizza chef and Pokemon trainer.
Well, I'm more of a pizza trainer at the moment. I'm still a pretty new user to Pokemon Go.
Hey, Chris, don't sell yourself short, dude.
Well, ask me again next week, and I'll tell you what level I'm on.
Okay, what level are you on now?
About 15 minutes ago, I made it to level 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought my 11, 10, my level 10 was good.
I was really excited at 10.
So that voice is the lovely Kushbu Shah from Mike.com, which is a new digital media site that we love. And she's a deputy food editor, and she recently wrote a story about Pokemon and restaurants, which is a national thing.
National, international, actually, at this point. There's been stories out of Australia, out of Europe, of places offering specials or telling people to come in because they have Pokemon at their restaurant.
Amazing. So typically the way we start off each episode of Tech Bytes is like a good meal with an app. And we go around the shipping container and everybody talks about a new app or an old app, something that they use and love. The only requirement is that we don't talk about the app that we're going to talk about. So that means no Pokemon app. And we get full participation, which means we get to hear from Mission Control, David Tatasori, the engineer for this show who makes it all happen.
That's me.
What kind of app action do you have for us this week? And while you do that, I'm just going to tell people at home so they know what's going on. Chris brought pizza. So we're going to be eating pizza while other people are talking, and the smell is kind of overwhelming. It's so good, I don't think we can wait much longer to open the box.
So if you're wondering what that strange sound is, it is chewing.
Yeah, so turn down the mics a little bit in here while you talk and we eat pizza.
Okay, well, so you introduced me as the engineer for Heritage, so the app I have this week is kind of in line with that. It's pretty insular, I guess, and not a lot of people will really be interested, but it's this app called Quiz Tones, which basically plays different sound sources and then applies an equalization curve to it, and then you have to identify what that is. It's sort of like an ear training for audio engineers app. So, yeah, it helps you, like, identify what frequencies are being affected and how.
I don't even know what that means.
Okay. So, like, human hearing is, you can split it into, you know, frequencies, different frequency bands, low frequencies, high frequencies, everything in between. And when you use an EQ, you're adjusting the level of certain frequencies.
Nerd.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Is that like a sound only dogs can hear? Or
well, yeah,
a sound
dogs
that
hear
like
very
people
high
can't
frequencies.
Hear, but it makes like the dolphins crazy or something like that?
Yeah, those are super high frequencies
I heard,
you can't hear.
I heard about this app that like allegedly like what was it that like teenagers like can hear a certain frequency, but like their teachers can't or something, or like they were using it to drive their teachers crazy or something.
It's an age
obviously
thing.
I wasn't really paying attention.
Actually, that,
something about the development of your hearing abilities.
Yeah, that's another high frequency. Like as you get older, you start to be able to hear high frequencies less. That sort of drops off the older you get. So yeah, it's possible that if you're a teenager, you can hear those higher frequencies and your teacher might not be able to, or at least not on a conscious level.
Ha, huh. Heavy. How's the pizza?
The pizza's amazing, oh, as good. Always. The pizza's so, always good. You know, great pizza is really great, but in the restaurant world, as anyone can tell you, the tough thing is consistency.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it's great one day, and then you take the L train out again another day, and it sucks, you're going to be really mad.
Consistency is my number two.
What's your number one?
Cleanliness.
Oh,
because I feel like that's making great food is actually not the hardest thing. Like, you know, it's pretty, especially, you know, if you have unlimited budget for ingredients, it's not the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing is doing it consistently, you know, being professional, which is where cleanliness comes in, and then making money, which is where, you know, yeah, obviously you can use anything you want and really quality ingredients are going to taste better, but can you do it at a price that you can actually then consistently, you know, deliver to people and make money? So this pizza here, if we have time to talk about pizza for a second, because you guys are here, maybe don't always go in depth about the pizza so much, but you got us. So this pizza that you're eating right now is, it's called the Famous Original, and it is a Roberta's pizza with tomato. It's got in the tomato sauce, we put oregano and chili flake, and then there's three different cheeses. There's mozzarella, Parmigiano Reggiano, and Caciocavallo. Now, we've added pepperoni to it because, you know, why not? Now, it's called the Famous Original because when I first tasted it, I was like, okay, this is... That taste, it's like if you were to walk into a slice joint and take everything on the counter and dump it on your slice, you know?
So that's a very New York City thing, though. That's a very New York metro thing when you say, when you walk into a slice joint and you dump everything on the counter. You got to maybe let the folks outside New York metro know what that means, because I don't think they know what that means like in
I didn't Iowa. Know anyone was actually listening to this.
We have listeners from 200 countries, I will have you know.
There's 200 countries out there? That's amazing.
Yeah, but only 26 of them are playing Pokemon.
Okay, so what we got here is Is Canada included?
Yes, Canada just got Pokemon Go.
Okay, all right. Siri about that. So what, like, when you go to a slice joint in New York, which first of all, the inside baseball terminology is, you want to order a plain slice. Right. If you ask for a cheese slice, you could ask for a cheese slice, I guess. They would know what you're talking about. But plain slice is what you say to get a regular slice.
Just cheese.
Yeah. Yeah. So so you get the plain slice. And then on the countertop of any, you know.
Quality, reputable.
Good,
standard.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All this. not even necessarily quality, but pizza place. That's like a recognizable New York pizza place. It's going to have dry oregano. Chili flake.
In the shaker bottles.
In a shaker bottle. Dry oregano, chili flake, and Parmesan. Like
also
out
garlic
at room
salt, if they're worth their salt. Mm-hmm.
Garlic salt, yes. And on a very rare occasion, garlic powder, which, you know, I'm a fan of, but it's like a guilty pleasure thing. But so that's what I mean by everything on the counter. So the parm, the oregano, the chili flake, and then we use fresh mozzarella that we make every day. The Caciocavallo is like a aged... fresh milks or fresh cow's milk cheese that's like similar to like aged provolone or like aged mozzarella. So the idea is the fresh mozzarella blend with the Caciocavallo kind of mimics the low moisture aged mozzarella that they use at a slice joint as opposed to the fancy fresh mozzarella stuff, right? So those things all come together to give you like a flavor profile that's like, boom, this is a slice of pizza from New York. Like it's not, there's nothing... You know, it's very pedestrian, but all those ingredients are actually, like, I mean, it's real Parmigiano Reggiano. It's, like, Caciocavallo, like, from Italy. It's our fresh mozzarella.
You get the best of all those flavor, classic flavor points as a combination of the best ingredients.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, and our pepperoni, even, is, like, this is Bialesi pepperoni, which Salumeria Bialesi is an incredible, you know, Italian-style salumi company here that was started by immigrants from Italy. Who their descendants, you know, still make pizza or still make these great salumis. And they told me, I was there touring their facilities, and they told me the story of the pepperoni is they constantly wanted to make pepperoni because everyone was asking them for it. They were like, Dad.
Because of the pizza.
Yeah, because they were like, Dad, like, let's make pepperoni. We would sell so much pepperoni. It would be, and they were like, no, there is no pepperoni. They were like, this just does, they were straight from the boat. They didn't, they were
it
like,
doesn't exist.
They're like, this doesn't exist.
Is it some sort of American, like when pepperoni came through Ellis Island, they changed it in America to be something
I mean,
else.
The word itself, it just means peppers. Like, so if you were to go to Italy and ask for a pizza with pepperoni on it, you would get like either red
pizza with peppers.
Yeah. You would get like bell peppers or yeah, something like that.
Huh?
On your pizza. So the word itself doesn't like mean anything.
They probably would look at you funny also.
It's like a Frappuccino.
Come look at the Americano who wants the peppers on their pizza. Yeah.
So they had Soppressata Picante, you know, which these guys are from Biale in the north. So like they were, it was already painful for them to make Soppressata Picante. Like they only made, you know, sweet Soppressata at first. But anyways, so they said they had to wait until their fucking parents died. Sorry, excuse me.
No, that's okay. I checked the explicit box on iTunes. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Great, awesome. Yeah, they had to wait till they died till they could make pepperoni. And then when they did, and this is it, and it's amazing.
It is amazing. I can attest to all those wonderful flavors. I have a piece of crust parked on my napkin because what listeners also can't see is there's a little plastic to-go container of ranch.
That's right.
Which is a new thing.
Yeah.
Which I understand is supposed to go with the crust. So is this a dipping situation?
Yeah, it's totally a dipping situation.
Yeah, I do it with the full slice.
Sometimes. Yeah, you dip. You okay. Can dip. Yeah. You can start.
I'm dipping.
Start to finish, dip it in there.
Yeah, I love ranch.
You want some of the
Chris,
ranch?
What do you want to talk about ranch and its interplay with pizza?
You know, I haven't made the ranch yet, but I know those guys make it every day from scratch.
Yeah, that's true.
What is in ranch if it doesn't come out of a packet?
I mean, it's mayonnaise, like a buttermilk, flavor. And like herbs. And like...
It's the herbs.
Those herbs are...
Garlic powder?
That is actually a topic of much debate. What are the herbs that go in the ranch?
Dill is pretty traditional, and then...
Dried onion.
Yeah, kind of like California stuff, right?
Yeah.
Green goddess.
I think, you know, possibly mint. I mean, who knows?
So,
we've gone through a few iterations.
All this stuff on top of the pizza is amazing. I don't want to discount the crust and the wood-fired oven that makes it, because the crust is kind of the baseline to all the pizzas.
Well, that's the hard part, is the crust.
And to segue back into this, Roberto's has been here since 2008. It's been wildly popular the world over, through across generations, across demographics. All kinds of people are here, are coming here. I see them every Monday when I come in to do the show. Do you need Pokemon to bring in customers? I mean, typically the wait here to get a pizza is an hour or two anyway. Is it necessary, or is it just something kind of fun and of the moment because it's this crazy phenomenon?
Sorry, I'm eating this delicious pizza. I
can't. Delicious pizza.
No, we don't need Pokemon to get people in here. I think we put it on our Instagram.
At Roberta's Pizza, no punctuation.
Yeah. It was just because it was funny. I run the Instagram account, and mostly we put pictures of pizza on there. And then we put pictures of the other excellent food that comes out of the kitchen here.
Shout out to your sticky buns. Those are maybe my favorite thing on the menu.
Also, the bakery items we post on there, too. Although they have their own Instagram, at Roberta's Bakery.
Good to know. Did not know that.
Yeah. I did not know that either.
The garden has its own Instagram, at Roberta's Garden.
Oh.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, the Heritage Radio Network studios are actually two repurposed shipping containers that are adjacent to Roberta's, buttressed up against the dining rooms. On the rooftop is where the garden is. There's two greenhouses out front also. It's a pretty amazing, I like to call it the compound. There's a lot happening here.
That's what we call it, too.
So they have those their own Instagram feeds. Has there been Pokemon sightings up in the garden and over there? I mean, Chris, you work here and you're playing, so you are partially responsible for drawing the activity.
Well, yeah. So Pokemon Go has this thing called augmented reality, which means that you can see Pokemon around you through your camera lens. And I was cooking the other day.
It uses the GPS off your phone,
right,
and then the camera, and it sort of triangulates all this information.
Yeah, it actually uses the Google API, right?
So, because it was developed in conjunction with Google, actually, mm-hmm, even though it's a separate entity now.
And the CIA.
Yes, well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that soon. Okay, so augmented reality.
So I was using my phone while I was cooking, which is something that I'm really not supposed to do, and there was a Golbat that I could see on my phone inside the oven where I was cooking like four pizzas, and Falco turns to me and was like, I don't care how many of those pizzas you burn, you need to get that Golbat.
Did you get it?
I did not burn any of the pizzas, and I got the Golbat.
Good man.
Yeah.
That's some skill set right there.
Yeah, I'd update your LinkedIn with that.
So, yeah, I mean, for me, like, running the Instagram, it's like, you know, it's pizza-related content that's interesting and topical.
To your audience and your pizza-eating demographic that's here.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's just something funny in your feed that you could look at and just be like, oh, Roberta's pizza. Oh, there's a Pokemon in the pizza oven.
Pikachu pizza. Kushbo, how did you come across the story initially? Because, I mean, it was released on July 7th, which is really only 10 days ago. So the fact that it's accelerated at this rate is pretty amazing. And there's a couple of different storylines with the Pokemon Go phenomenon. One of them is how quickly it's rapidly accelerating. One of them is how businesses are using it to draw in customers. And you published your story pretty quickly after the release. It was over a week ago.
Yeah, it was a weird day where on Monday, all of a sudden, all these stories went up. I thought I was onto something original, but clearly everyone else was also in that vein. I was actually at a dinner party on Sunday, and someone mentioned some Facebook status of someone they knew that owned a restaurant just across the Puget Sound and from Seattle, and that he mentioned he had a crazy number of customers come in that weekend because of Pokemon Go, and he had never heard of it before. And so I reached out to the restaurant manager, and he told me he had about 25 to 50% increase in business in just one weekend because of this app. And I think what's the coolest thing about this app is that it's brought people to restaurants that aren't necessarily trendy, or, you know, they're more kind of under the radar, and people are all of a sudden visiting them because they are near a Pokemon hotspot, or they are a Pokestop where you can get Pokemon balls and other things to battle with in the app.
Well, we are going to have to take a little bit of a Pokestop right now to find out who our amazing sponsors are. Heritage Radio is 100% member supported. We're also supported by great businesses like Roberta's that help us keep the lights on. Stay tuned.
OpenTable is a proud sponsor of Heritage Radio Network. OpenTable is home to the world's largest dining network, seating over 17 million diners every month. Their technology solutions help restaurants run and grow their businesses. That means providing memorable hospitality to every guest, streamlining front-of-house operations, and optimizing seating to seat more diners and drive more business. Chefs, restaurateurs, and other industry professionals can find more tips and best practices for running a successful restaurant on their blog, Open for Business, at openforbusiness.opentable.com.
Well, if you've just joined us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bites, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network, where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today that intersection is Pokemon Go, the crazy app that is sweeping the world. It is an augmented reality game, and restaurants are using it to kind of lure people into the restaurants for business. We're here with the Roberta's Pizza Squad. Anthony Falco, the pizza czar, Chris Anacona, who is one of the pizza chefs here, as well as Pokemon Trainer, and Kushbo Shah, who writes for Mike.com and has been writing about the phenomenon of Pokemon in restaurants. One of the things that's, you know, and so restaurants have been using it to draw business. Roberta's kind of doesn't need to really draw that much business because it's wildly popular.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty popular. Thanks. No big deal. But yeah, I don't know. What I thought about is the garden. It's like it's kind of a unique space in New York restaurant world, just because we have so much space, and then we have this kind of big, like, open area, kind of laissez-faire seat yourself area in the garden where you can just like hang out and you can drink and kind of like, whatever, you can do whatever you want in there, you know what I'm saying? People would like kind of, you know, like smoke weed and they do stuff, like, but like, you know, like, okay, there's like, what a cool, that it's like, if is there a better place to hunt
Pokemon Go? Probably not,
right? Especially you can eat pizza, drink, yeah, and hunt Pokemon, and there's space to like swing your elbows or whatever you need to do to get the Pokemon.
You don't have to worry about getting hit by a car,
right?
Or any of the other sort of real life disasters that are starting to happen now.
Yeah, yeah. You won't stumble now across a dead body like so, that one girl.
With the release having been 10 days ago on July 17th, it's already reached 15 million downloads. I read a statistic online at one of the news outlets that said it was something like 21 million daily, like, active user kind of things happening. But we're already starting to see the backlash to the Pokemon Go characters in restaurants, because now there are restaurants that are saying, we don't want you playing your Pokemon Go here. And I almost envision it as that old guy that we're all going to turn into who's yelling at the kids to get off his lawn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, hey, you kids, get out of my yard with that Pokemon Go. We don't want you here.
On my way here, I live off the Graham stop, and I took the subway here. And right when I was walking into the entrance, on the ground, someone took the time out of their day for, like, that's the other thing. The old man has time in his day to, like, not just shake his fist, but to apparently cut out a stencil. And someone had taken the time to cut out a stencil in the Pokemon logo, in the Pokemon Go logo, but instead of Pokemon Go, it says Pokemon No.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And they spray painted it on the sidewalk. It's just like, man, it's like it's only been
10 days.
10 days.
10 days.
And it peaked, and then now people
I don't
are,
think it's peaked yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we
I don't think
realize
it's peaked. We're it's only in 26 countries.
I think, though, the really interesting thing to me with all of this is I think people will look back on this and be like, this was the beginning of
the end
of augmented reality really becoming like the killer app of what you use your phone to do. You know, people have been from the very first iPhone, it was like, oh, and you're gonna be able to lift up the camera and it'll give you directions, you know, where to go. People have not really been using it that way, but this is like a really mass market version, like app using augmented reality.
I think it's also a really interesting time for the release in that, you know, the news cycle is happening with, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening in the world right now. There's a lot of strife and a lot of really hard conversations in the United States. We have the elections. We have a lot of, you know, really sad things happening here also. So the news cycles have been really inundated with primarily very sobering, serious news. I feel like the Pokemon story is a little more lighthearted and a little bit more fun, and perhaps is also happening right at the moment when people are really looking for something. Or kind of a little, you know, get out, run around, jump around, grab a Pokemon, all that kind of thing. That maybe that's also part of the rapid rise. I mean, you guys cover, at Mike, you cover a lot of these different news stories.
Totally. We've had a lot of, like, headlines kind of, you know, thrown out in the newsroom that are, I just find myself honestly cackling at throughout the day. It brings like, it's like a weird sense of community. And with things like this, I feel like people are willing to go to kind of extreme lengths to do something that is so silly. Like there was a story about these people who like rented a kayak to go out into the middle of a river to like claim a Pokemon gym, you know, like the lengths that people will go to play this
kind of cross-pollinated with all those like American Ninja, Tough Mudder, yeah, you know, Reebok Spartan Race. I mean, how long before we see like the Pokemon Go challenge, like out in the woods or something? Like
where you
that?
Have to like run 26 miles like through.
I mean, I still don't like 100% know how. Chris, can you?
Yeah, tell us how it works
tell
exactly.
Tell us like
Chris?
How you like.
Because
what?
I haven't downloaded it to start to play it because I am fearful of two things. One is, within the news cycles of the Pokemon story, there's a couple of different lanes. There's the restaurant food lane, which is super fun. Donut Plant is doing like the Pokemon
little
ball.
Pokeball
people are doing
donuts.
Poke drinks. You might have a Poke pizza. Poke
no.
pizza with raw fish. No. Like cross-motionate no. Hawaiian no. food. And
there's no. been a lot no. of people taking pictures of Pokemon in Pokeballs or at Poke
there
restaurants.
You go. See?
It's kind of fun.
I mean, Poke, like, kind of like...
That it's was, a thing.
That blew up, too, like right before Pokemon. Are they related at all? No.
No.
Pokemon's short for pocket monster, right? I have a 5-year-old
so.
And a 3-year-old, so I actually... I have a lot of Pokemons in my house.
On the tech side of the story, the Pokemon Go story, is when a database gets to 20 million users, 20 million accounts, and all the account information of all those people, that's when a database starts to look very interesting to the super hackers. So one of a bunch of the articles and the storylines that I've been reading is that Pokemon Go got to 10 million downloads and 10 million users in the first week. They're now at 15 million. They're in 26 countries. 20 million is only around the corner. And when the Pokemon server crashed this weekend, there's a hacker group that's taking responsibility for it. So one thing is that all indicators say that Pokemon Go is going to get hacked and then they're going to get all the data. So I don't want to download it and become a part of that data that's going to get ripped. And so I haven't downloaded it to play yet. It's also a very stringent lifetime agreement in terms of your content and your privacy, which also I kind of bristle at a little bit. So, Chris, you don't seem to have a problem with
no, oh,
those things.
Definitely not. At about 9 o'clock this morning, I woke up, and there are five Pokestops near my apartment.
Wait, what's a Pokestop?
A Pokestop is a place that you visit... And it gives you stuff. It gives you, like, resources.
And this is, like, Nintendo headquarters determines where these are going
to
be?
Exactly, yeah. They're sort of pinned to the map itself.
And you can purchase something in the app to become a Pokestop.
Right. You're talking about
Lure module.
Become a stop. Yeah, you're talking about
a
Lure,
you can't become a Pokestop, but if you are near a Pokestop, this is what a lot of restaurants are doing. If they are one or if they're near one, you can purchase a Lure module, which for half an hour like emits something that draws a bunch of Pokemon to it. Mm-hmm. So
like on a frequency that only Pokemon players can hear.
But how can they make a private business a part of this?
All right, so let's back up and start from the beginning. Chris, walk us through
So
Pokemon 101. You download the thing, you sign away your lifetime rights on your firstborn child.
All your emails are read by Nintendo.
And your credit card information.
Right.
Because it was developed by Google. So
seems fair.
Yep.
And you go around and Pokemon just sort of appear and you tap on them and you catch them.
So you have to hold up your phone and have the camera app on and sort of use it as a viewfinder to the world.
The app asks for permission to use your camera. Yeah. So until permission. The Pokemon actually appears, it's in this kind of digital map world where you can see Pokestops and like roads, but it doesn't necessarily look
like Google Map view versus satellite view.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But when the Pokemon appears, that's when it'll flip to augmented reality, and all of a sudden you have like a Zubat or a Pikachu like flying on your pizza or, you know, in your hair.
And it's going to crush your battery. I started at 100% and I had to recharge right before this show started.
It'll drain all of your data too on your plan, so definitely
it will drain all of your data on your plan. Has that been a problem for you, Chris?
No, I have a very old plan, so I'm okay.
I
have that old unlimited
grandfathered in iPhone 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that too.
Same.
So this morning I went to a gym.
You can tell we're all old people in the booth.
So Poke Gym is a place like a Pokestop where it's pinned to the map and you can claim it if you have a strong Pokemon and you defeat all the other Pokemon that are there. And once you claim it and you hold it for a little while, you're getting experience points. And I guess you get other stuff, too. But I made my first trip to a gym this morning, and I got my ass kicked 3 times.
This is not a real gym. This is like...
Oh, no, no way. This is like me on a
gym, like from your bed.
Phone.
Because he's wearing seersucker Bermuda shorts and an Oxford.
Yeah, this is my day off here. Cool. But I wasn't able to really defeat any of these Pokemons. This particular gym was part of a subway station. So one of the other things that Pokemon Go does is it gives you eggs. And the eggs will hatch the more you walk around. And this is like the Go
what
part
do they
of
hatch?
Pokemon Go. Just other Pokemons, like free Pokemons you don't have to catch. You just get the egg. Eventually it hatches. So I got on the train, which is the M train, which is an above ground train, which has service until you get to Manhattan, which is where I ended up. And man, did I just like catch so much stuff all the way to the city. And then
sick.
I turned back around and like got it all the way on the other side. And one of my eggs hatched. So very productive morning.
Wait,
were you taking the train first? For a reason, or did you just ride back and forth to do that?
I was just taking it for Pokemon Go.
This is, I feel like this was
is
like...
Is that true?
What
yeah.
is
for real.
I'm not kidding. Since 8 o'clock this morning until 1 o'clock.
Wow.
I feel like this was totally one of the first storylines that I heard about, like, when I thought about this, is that they were, like, very proud of the fact that, like, this is a nerd game that is going to make nerds go outside.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And be active. Well, and also
active,
just generally.
Because that's kind of been a long-term criticism of the video game, you know, kind of industry.
Right. Well, and just generally, the population is increasingly sloth-like and does nothing.
Dude, you know, two kids, to get them outside, like, it's crazy. They just want to sit inside and play iPad all day.
And adults also, most of the popular, successful apps are things like Seamless, where the whole point is that you pay somebody else so you don't have to get off your couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in like big cities, like you can pay for pretty much any convenience.
You
at
can
this
pay
point.
For mm-hmm. you can pay for the world to come to your couch, so you don't have to move, with the exception of Pokemon. So this maybe.
No, I'm all for that. Like, get people out.
Do your kids play Pokemon?
So I mean, they love Pokemon.
The original Pikachu Pokemon from the
1990s. But when he says, "I want Dad, let's play Pokemon," he means like let's pretend to be Pokemons and run around
like
the house.
Like costumes and stuff. Does he have a little Pokemon costume?
I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe like a t-shirt?
He has t-shirts, but like he doesn't know how the cards work. He doesn't know anything about it. He likes the cartoon, which we don't really like to let him watch, you know. but he doesn't know how to actually... We had one game on the iPad, and you basically just like threw balls at things. I mean, it was not really that sophisticated. But, you know, he doesn't grasp the full, like, you know, I feel like you have to be a little older to get how it actually works, like the trading of the cards and the evolve of the creature.
The evolution and yeah. collecting the weapons and the resources.
Yeah. And I think this game is definitely meant for people who have cell phones. You know, I don't think your five-year-old is walking around with a personal iPhone.
He has an iPad. And
The kids get the hand-me-downs after.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they just roll on Wi-Fi, so they don't have a data plan. So, but if there's right. Wi-Fi, then
but
they can do
the
it.
The limiting factor of Pokemon Go, right, is that you have to be out in the world, so you don't necessarily always have Wi-Fi everywhere, unless True. You're like me and you like to play from your couch. I like for when the Pokemon come to me.
Yeah. There you go.
That's how
you
I
need like
it,
Instacart Pokemon.
Do you have to do things to lure them to your apartment, or
that's the blessing
like,
of living
have
in
snacks
a,
and
that's like, the blessing about living in a big city is that. You know, between like
5 feet away from
yeah, your office. I like live across the street from a Pokestop. So it's like I have like an endless supply of Pokemon balls. But my 13-year-old brother who lives in suburban Michigan, you know, was complaining about because he doesn't drive and he can only walk so far in the neighborhood. Like he's like, oh, I'm down to my last three Pokeballs.
How far can he get on his bike after school?
Yeah. He's also one of, you know, summer, he's a lazy kid.
So I heard the Roberta's delivery riders yeah. are crushing this game. Because
really?
The bicycles don't really go that fast, and the app knows if you're in a car and you're going too fast. You can't just get
so
an Uber
maybe
and tell
you're
them to
walking.
Drive around. Right. And, like, they all have accounts.
Wow.
Wow. They're
you like maybe a, need to set
awesome.
Up. So here's a question to you as chefs in the restaurant business. One of the common laments that I hear from restaurant management / owners is the problem of staff being on their cell phones, where you're in service, you're prepping, you got to hustle, you got, you know, four pizzas getting ready to burn in the oven, and you got an hour and a half, 2 hour wait stacked up. Having people on their phones is a struggle in life for any business, for people taking time out of their job. Is the Pokemon thing going to be increasingly so, where people are just on the Pokemon?
No way. We are too busy.
Too busy?
To be an
Do
issue.
You guys have a cell phone during service policy or cell phone during work
I mean, it's
policy?
Just your, I mean, if you want to put your hands on your cell phone, like, yeah. that's your problem because it's that busy that your hands are going to be covered in flour if you're making pizza. And
yeah, a lot of guys wrap up their phones in yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I've lost three phones because of flour in my phone.
Oh, Ziploc wow. baggy your phone before you
yeah,
come to work?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's really... No, I mean, it's not... I mean, I think if it's a problem with anything, it's like utility workers and stuff like that who kind of... Like, the being on the compound has like some flip sides is like, you know, people are like, oh, I'm going to go get this... thing and you have to walk all the way across the garden and people can kind of get lost and you're like, where is so-and-so? I sent them to get wood and yeah. maybe they're playing Pokemon Go in 257. I don't know.
I had a restaurant owner tell me that his staff, I mean, it's a smaller restaurant. It's not anything that has the reputation of Roberto's, but his staff plays it and he says he's okay with it as long as it doesn't interfere with their work because it also helps them bond with customers that are in the store that are also playing it because they can
that's
like,
interesting.
Be like, oh yeah, there's a Rattata.
We're all in it
there.
Together.
Yeah.
I spoke with a small business owner, but who has, it's a fast casual kind of thing, and they have multiple locations in Manhattan and Brooklyn, and he doesn't really know what Pokemon Go is, but he said that he doesn't want to see the staff playing it, but he's okay if they want to, like, buy a thing and bring people in. And
right.
So it's sort of this, I don't know what that is, but I don't want people spending time on their phones, but if it brings the customers in, then yeah, whatever that thing is, just get one.
Yeah, right. Those lure modules are actually pretty economical. Weirdly.
They're only $10, right?
Yeah, it like someone did the math on Twitter and it works out to like $1.17 per hour.
That's a great return on investment if you're talking about marketing dollars.
Yeah, even if this ends up just being a fad for the next month.
So we can.
There's two stops that are really near the restaurant. There's one at the rainbow mural over there, and there's one on some of the other art on this side, and both of them could be modded.
Would you do it?
I haven't spent any money on this app yet, so and I'm very close.
It's, the thing to know, though, is that
card.
It's,
maybe I should right. just
it's a time window, though, right? You get one, and it pops and goes live for, what is it, 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can purchase them and then just, you know, use them.
Use them when you want.
When
so
you want.
When is the absolute bottom point of customers you know, whatever your absolutely slowest moment of the day is, if you did it then and had that 30-minute window, then, I mean, I would think you guys would not want to do it on, you know, a Friday or Saturday night where people are already 12 deep waiting to get in.
We could probably assign a bar back to mod them both as soon as the tiki bar opens and run from like 6 till whenever they close.
Exactly. That's what we need people in the tiki bar early. We could turn it into like the poke bar.
Yeah.
I would maybe come.
It would just be a bunch of nerds. Do nerds drink?
Is this I went to the bar 2 nights ago.
Of course they do.
And had, I don't know, 3 rounds. And
they're nerds.
Talked to my other
okay, hey,
buddies.
I don't know.
There's a you whole know? Bar crawl being
I'm not
organized.
A nerd, all right?
Yes, there's a whole bar crawl. Yeah.
Whole bar crawl being organized in Brooklyn. Actually, a couple places now around Pokemon Go.
We could do like a Pokemon disco, like get Tiki Disco guys.
Oh,
and like
Pokemon have, disco.
Yeah, like a big DJs and like there's, you know.
Pokemon Go, Go, Go.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you do a Pokemon you start disco? Creating Pokemon items for the menu? Because that's also a trend.
We used to have a pizza on the menu called the Pizza Pizza. It was
peaches Machu with, Pizza?
Well, I kind of thought it was like Pizza Pizza.
The Caesar's Pizza guy?
Yeah. The person who came up with it, they thought it was a Pokemon joke, and I had no idea. So we went forward with that. We could bring that back.
But if you're going to do Tiki Bar to me seems like prime for like a Pokeball.
I'm kind of like the curmudgeon-y old man when it comes to
you're
like
you're the
fish
shaker.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what about the Tiki Bar, though? I mean, drinks seem to be a good spot for Pokemon Go.
I mean, I'm kind of the school of thought. Like, I was a bartender before. That's how I got to be involved with Roberta's. Is I used to bartend with Brandon, one of the original founders. And I'm of the school of thought as a bartender. You know, it's kind of an entrepreneurial activity. Like, you've got this bar. You make money selling drinks.
Entrepreneurial slash hustler's game.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to hustle. So, like, why do I have to pay for Pokemon traps or lures or whatever, you know, snacks, whatever draws them in? You're bartending. You want people to come to the bar early and start drinking? Set up some Pokemons or play good music or whatever it is. You know, maybe we should do that. We'll let them know. We'll have a little bar meeting. Be like, you guys are not, if you're not on this Pokemon thing, you're dropping the ball.
So the dog days of summer are coming. July and August are typically, at least in the United States, the lowest points in business for most restaurants unless you're at a resort-type destination. This is a kind of perfect time for restaurants to have something like this to perhaps draw in customers. I mean, do you see the trend waning at all? Or I mean, I think even though there's already starting to be some pushback and, you know, some hating on the Pokemon Go, it's only been around for 10 days. I don't think we're anywhere close to peak yet.
Yeah, I don't think we've explored the potential of the app. I mean, there was that news that came out that McDonald's might be doing like sponsored Pokestops at all of their restaurants, and this might be a thing. This might be a thing that continues, you know, where other chains join in or other big restaurants can pay to be a Pokestop on this map, not just something determined by an algorithm.
Well, I do have a bunch of restaurant apps that I download because, you know, food and tech and restaurant apps is sort of the wheelhouse I'm in. And I got an email from Beefsteak, which is the Jose Andres fast casual vegetable salad thing, which is really adorable. And they have an app and a Facebook group. And immediately I got, when was it? It was on the 13th. I got an email to the app that said, we're hooked and we're dropping lures and offering double points on our purchases. So Pokemon Go, they were on it.
It's crazy. Red Robin had something the other day where it was like, come in and show, you know, your server your Pokedex, which is just like all the Pokemon you got. Yeah, it's
whoa.
Just like whatever's in it, and they'll give you like $3 off your $10 purchase, which is not bad if you're
Red Robin
sort of thing. Yeah,
Red Robin.
Yum.
I watch sports on TV.
I didn't know that. I just went to a Red Robin because I went on like a little family vacation.
You should have busted out your Pokedex.
Wow.
I was actually
you
surprised.
You went to a Red Robin?
Yeah, I went with my family and they had these like, I was actually kind of pissed off because they have these like iPads set up on every single table.
To pay your check?
And you can order appetizers, you can pay a check, or you can play games at like $1.99 an hour or something. And they put it, and like when you have kids.
Right.
Like
they don't understand.
Yeah, like it's like putting crack on the table in front of a crack addict. It's like, you know, so you walk into the table to sit down, and there's this iPad there, and the first thing, so like we come in, the bill comes, and it's like, you charged. You know, you have to, you were playing
dinner
the
games. $17.50 and your gaming charge is $54.
Exactly. And I was like, no, like we didn't, like, you're saying there
it's
was, like there's no parental
kids.
Sign up? Like,
a kid can just,
and so they took it off the bill.
I'm sure you agree to the terms just by sitting in the booth.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like that was a little, a little intense.
I'm going to look
into
that.
Kanye West rant that he went on about in-app purchases.
I was feeling
games.
Kanye on that one. I was feeling him hard on that because there was a time when apps stopped being like, you used to be, you buy an app, you buy a game, and it's like a game cost, whatever, $4, and that's it.
Now it's free. And
now
it's
they're
the
all
in-app
free,
purchase.
And it's all in-app purchases. Right. So, like, this morning I'm playing, Frank's like, I need your help with this, like, Angry Birds. He's, like, obsessed with Angry Birds. So I need your
Frank
help
is playing Angry Birds.
Yeah, Frank's playing Angry Birds. And then he's like, buy me this thing. I'm like, dude, I'm not, just play the game. Why do I have to buy you stuff in the game all the time? I'm going to email Kanye and see what we can do about this between the two of us.
So,
set something up.
World domination, Kanye, and the Roberta's Pizza Czar. We are out of time. We could do a weekly installment of this. We could have a daily show.
We're not
probably.
Out of ranch, though, guys.
We're not out of
just
ranch.
Saying,
we're not out of pizza.
I see some ranch.
That's all the time we have today. But at the end of each show, I like to ask all my guests for a little piece of advice for our listeners to use in real life. So we'll go around the room. Krishpa, we have a lot of businesses and food people who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. What's your best advice for someone who wants to pitch the media a story about their restaurant? Can a person actually do that themselves, or do they need a publicist?
No, totally. We're more than happy to entertain pitches from actual restaurants themselves. What we need to actually turn it into a story is like a real hook, not just a, we are serving wine. Like, what about it is unique? It should be clear and concise. Love a concise pitch. The longer they are, the more we're not going to pay attention.
Concise is like one or two sentences?
Well, like a paragraph or two. Like, you're pretty straight to the point. You're not overselling yourself. And then actually, you know, good images, they sell everything, especially in digital media. Like, if we want to run your story, but we don't have good art to go with it, that can often either hold it up or can stop us from even running it if there isn't like a good image of something to go along with it.
So how does somebody get in touch with media like Mike.com?
You can send us an email, track down an editor that you're into. Most of us have our emails on our Twitter handles usually, or sites like Mike, where they're in our profile, our author profiles. You can find me at kushbu@mike.com, kushbu@mike.com.
And she's covering the Pokemon Go story, so there you have it. Chris? What's your best advice for the Pokemon trainers to move up to those levels?
Do not be afraid to get on the M train and just let it ride, man.
Oh, that's very good. And Anthony Falco, the pizza czar. There are so many things I want to ask you about the pizza and being the czar and everything. But the question that I'm going to go with is, I mean, pizza seems like a complicated thing to make at home. But if somebody's in one of those 200 countries that we have Heritage Radio Network listeners spread across and they can't get into Roberta's, would you recommend people making pizza at home?
Absolutely. I would recommend that. And it's one of the big part of my role as pizza czar is to teach people how to make pizza at home. I teach a class at the Brooklyn Kitchen.
Amazing.
You can go to the Brooklyn Kitchen and sign up for classes there. And then I did a video with Sam Sifton from the New York Times with a pretty detailed accompanying article on how to make Roberta's pizza dough at home and how to make pizza at home.
And that's online.
And that's just,
so anybody
if you
can
go to
that.
New York Times website and search pizza, it will be the first thing that pops up.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, the pizza's pretty amazing, but sometimes you can't always get to Bushwick. Especially not if you're riding the M train day in and day out.
No, and if you live in the continental United States, you can order Roberta's frozen pizza from goldbelly.com and soon from the Dean and DeLuca's catalog,
ooh,
which we will be on the cover of.
Wow.
The fall catalog.
Like a paper catalog?
Yeah, it's like a real paper catalog. So like,
so retro.
Watch out, Omaha, Nebraska.
So retro.
We're coming for you.
Coming for the Omaha
steaks. You know.
And so we will ship Roberta's frozen pizza to anyone in the United States.
All right. There you go.
But I would say, number one, if you're not in New York, make it at home. It's going to be better. The best thing. Because you can do whatever you want then. You want to put whole wheat in the crust. You want to put weed in the crust. You can do whatever you want that way.
So pokey. Like,
yeah, exactly. You could do your pokey pizza and not get a disapproving scowl from
pizza chew, if you will.
Pizza chew. That's a good one. Well, I want to thank everyone, all my guests, Kushbo, Anthony, and Chris, for coming into the container today. Bringing pizza. It's best show ever. I want to thank all of our listeners and our business partners for really helping us keep the lights on. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 not-for-profit. That means we need you to make radio. So, you know, whatever you spent on coffee or a slice of pizza today, if you send that to us, we can make more radio. If you like this show, come back again Mondays at 1 o'clock. I'm Jennifer Leitze, and this is Tech Bytes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.